I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Thursday, November the 22nd, Thanksgiving Day 2007. Happy Thanksgiving to you. We hope you're happy today, but it can be tough on those who start feeling sad as the days get shorter and the sunlight gets in shorter supply, especially in the fall and winter. We will talk this hour about seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, a type of depression that comes and usually goes as the seasons change. And we will welcome your questions for our guest psychologist. Do you suffer from SAD, seasonal affective disorder, or know someone who does? We will talk about the symptoms. We'll talk about possible treatments, including light therapy, and we'll welcome your thoughts and questions. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Charles Elliott, a clinical psychologist and member of the faculty at the Fielding Graduate University, a founding fellow in the Academy of Cognitive Therapy, an internationally recognized organization that certifies cognitive therapists, and he is the co-author, along with Laura Smith, of Seasonal Affective Disorder for Dummies: Practical, Effective Strategies to Feel Better During the Dark Days of Winter. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
And happy Thanksgiving to you.
And same to you.
You know, this is supposed to be a, you know, happy holiday for us, but gosh, the fall and winter holidays can be stressful enough for everyone. It's probably a lot worse if you're suffering from seasonal affective disorder.
Well, it's much worse if you're suffering from that. The holidays just are not the same thing at all for people with SAD.
Yeah, and what exactly is SAD?
SAD is essentially, Joy, a major depression, a major episode of depression that tends to come and go with the seasons. Generally speaking, that's winter. People tend to have feelings of worthlessness, trouble concentrating, very low moods, everything that you associate with depression. However, those with seasonal affective disorder have a few symptoms that occur more often with them than they do with people with other kinds of depression.
Like what?
Things like craving carbohydrates, decreased interest in sex, they'll have overwhelming fatigue, they'll often sleep more than usual, gain weight, withdraw, things like that. It's almost like a hibernating bear.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking, though, that I bet you a lot of people crave carbs and are tired and gain weight over the winter.
Well, in fact, an awful lot of people have minor symptoms of seasonal affective disorder, and those folks don't reach the criteria for an episode of a major depression, but they don't function as well either. In fact, it's kind of normal, to tell you the truth, to not like the shorter days as much.
Yeah, you know, you have a test in, a quiz in this in the book, which is has lots of information in it, and you're not trying to treat this this SAD lightly, but every once in a while you throw in a joke or two. That's kind of the what this book is all about, isn't it?
Well, we try. Yes, I mean, it can be awfully boring without a little humor thrown in.
But there was a list, I can't find it right now, but it was, something about whether you prefer summer to winter, and
yes.
I was answering yes to all of the questions, and I was like, oh my God, I have SAD. And then it was the at the end of that was, well, if you've answered yes to all these questions, you're normal.
That's right.
Because a lot of us do prefer the sunlight of summer and spring to the dark days of winter and fall.
That's absolutely the case. I mean, I find it depressing to leave work at 5 p.m. and mm-hmm. it's dark outside. I mean, you know, I don't have SAD, but it's not a lot of fun.
Yeah, but for those who do have SAD, when you know, when the daylight saving time ends or whatever, when the days start getting darker, I mean, that's when something clicks and that the depression sets in?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it typically will start in the early fall to the beginning of winter, and it will set in for 3, 4, 5, 6 months sometimes.
Yeah.
And can really debilitate a person.
Yeah. And how do you know if you are just one of those persons who, you know, hibernates a little bit in the winter, or if you have full-fledged SAD?
Well, if you're really questioning it, a person probably ought to go see a therapist, a psychologist, psychiatrist, or counselor. But, you know, as a general rule of thumb, if it's not impacting your life in a major way, you know, if you're able to get up and go to work, do most of the activities that you would have expected of yourself in a day, and you just feel a little loss of your typical edge, a little less energy, that kind of thing, that's probably not SAD and probably just typical of many, many people.
Yeah. So if you do have SAD, what is the general or average treatment for that?
Well, you know, that's the great news about this, is that SAD is very treatable, and there are a variety of interesting options for doing it. SAD might even be more treatable than more standard major depression. We're not sure why, but it seems very responsive. And you can target that treatment on the person's thinking. You can target it with bright light therapy. You can target it with medication. There's just a lot of really good options.
Yeah, you know, I've heard a lot about the light boxes or even these things you can put on your head. and I thought that was the treatment. You don't have to do the light treatment to get over SAD.
No, you don't. That's a fun thing that we found. You know, the one downside of the lights is that they're kind of inconvenient and people have trouble making themselves do it on a consistent long-term basis, although they work, and probably even including those visors on your head if you don't mind looking a little unusual.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to teach people how to think in less depressed ways is very effective. Some medications are very effective. We've got a lot of other options.
Yeah. How do you make someone think in less depressed ways?
Well, that's what we call cognitive therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And with cognitive therapy, you find that people have systematic ways that they look at themselves and their world and their future that are distorted, that are somewhat depressing, that actually make things look like they're worse than they are and worse than they would be thinking of them if they weren't in a depressed state. And so cognitive therapy attempts to get people to see their reactions to events and understand the distortions in the thinking and teach them how to make their thinking more realistic.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I think it's going to be a good day, I'm going to go to work and just not sit home and hibernate, that's a treatment for SAD?
Well, in part, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, what we do is we have people go out and systematically collect information about when they feel particularly down, when some event gets to them. We have them write down their thoughts about that event. For example, it might be I had a performance evaluation at work, and the evaluation was generally fairly positive, but there was one negative comment, and somebody was sad, would focus and dwell upon and become extremely upset about the one small negative piece.
Mm-hmm.
And so we help them see that negative piece in a broader context and learn to rethink it. And they might write down new thoughts about it. Instead of, I'm bound to get fired, you know, this is terrible and awful, the person might write down, well, actually, most of this feedback was positive, and this one negative piece is something that I feel I can actually do something about. Mm-hmm. And that's less depressing.
I'm wondering if instead of a light box or the cognitive therapy, whether if we would just make a point of getting sunlight, real sunlight, if that would help many of us.
You can. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the typical bright day out there puts out about what they call 10,000 lux, which is a measure of illumination of light, the intensity of illumination. And 10,000 is sort of the key number. It seems like we need exposure to that amount of light for a good extra 30 minutes a day to treat SAD. You can get it outside. You can get it inside, but you can't get it with just normal bright lights. A normal office in the winter will be lit to about 400 lux, and you can see that falls pretty short.
Mm-hmm. And there are so many days that we actually don't see that. Do you actually have to have a clear day, or can you? Does it have something to do with the ultraviolet rays, or what exactly? I mean,
it's not the ultraviolet rays, and those, in fact, are not helpful at all. And, and if somebody does bright light therapy, we strongly advise that they get lights that have a filter that filters out the UV rays.
Mm-hmm.
But on a cloudy day, you can get some. It's just that it diminishes a little bit.
Yeah.
A cloudy day, you might, you know, have 400 or 500 lux. It's way less than the 10,000.
Yeah. Does vitamin D have anything to do with SAD?
You know, there's some speculation about that. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is entirely certain yet, and there are people who are thinking about running some studies looking at vitamin D, and it may, in fact, be something that would help for SAD. We just don't have a lot of data about it right now.
Yeah, but we do know that there are more people who suffer from SAD in Homer, Alaska, than there are in some tropical location.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
The correlation between latitude and getting SAD is modest, interestingly enough. I mean, here I am in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Corrales, New Mexico, more accurately, and boy, we get a lot of sunlight. And yet, there's still a fair amount of SAD, not as much as in Homer, Alaska, you're right.
And I bet you here in Wisconsin or in this latitude, we have more than you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky you.
Charles Elliott, Ph.D., a clinical psychologist, member of the faculty at the Fielding Graduate University, our guest, co-author of the book, Seasonal Affective Disorder for Dummies. Practical, effective strategies to feel better during the dark days of winter. Do you need some of those strategies? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along. Hope you stay tuned. Lots of Thanksgiving-themed programming for you all morning long, all day long here on the Ideas Network. Talking about holiday travel coming up after 9 o'clock. Cheryl Gasser in for Kathleen Dunn. Talking about gratitude after 10 o'clock. Larry Mueller, his Thanksgiving Day tradition continues after 11 o'clock. He'll have his birders in to talk about identifying and watching birds. So hope you stay tuned and let the Ideas Network be your companion on this Thanksgiving Day. We're talking this hour about seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, and welcoming your questions for our guest psychologist, Charles Elliott, and co-author of the book, Seasonal Affective Disorder for Dummies, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. To the phones we go, Alex in Wauwatosa is first. Hi, Alex, you're on the air.
Hello, Joy. Hello to the guest. First, let me say I'm very thankful for the show and thankful for Wisconsin Public Radio. I'll be traveling today, and Wisconsin Public Radio will be joining me right after the Packer game.
Well, good. I'm glad you'll get both of us.
I wanted to ask the guest, pediatric depression is kind of a different animal, especially in kids prior to puberty. And the last time I looked into this topic of seasonal affective disorder in a pediatric population, I really couldn't find very much. And I'm wondering if the guest has any insights, information, data, clinical lore about seasonal affective disorder in children and adolescents. And I'll listen on the radio. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for calling, and happy Thanksgiving. Dr. Elliott?
Well, SAD is definitely not especially common in younger kids. It's not unheard of, but it's a pretty rare thing. Typically, you'll start seeing it appear in adolescence, and full blown, sad really, with young adults. We don't know why for sure that's the case. Kids seem to have a degree of resilience against getting mood disorders, period, although it certainly does happen, and it's, for whatever reason, been happening more in kids over time, particularly adolescents. We see a lot more depression in general, and I'm sure, therefore, sad. But, you know, with younger kids, sometimes they may look kind of inattentive and a little more out of it in the winter, and that might possibly be a precursor to the development of SAD down the road.
Yeah. More women than men suffer from SAD?
Yes, definitely. And why, we don't know. But women do suffer from it at a significantly higher rate than men do.
Yeah.
Part of that may be that, that they tend to be more open and admit their feelings more.
Yeah. I was interested to read that SAD is it has something to do with bipolar disorder?
With bipolar?
Yeah, does it? I mean...
I think I know what you're talking about. There are occasions when bright light therapy might actually... For those who have a propensity for bipolar disorder, that light therapy could trigger a manic episode. That's not real common, but it's possible.
Okay, so it's not, if you suffer from SAD, that's distinct, and it's not bipolar disorder.
No, not really. Just because it comes and goes. Bipolar disorder comes and goes, but it goes from extreme highs to extreme lows, and those with SAD don't very often experience those intense highs.
Yeah. Joseph in Hartford, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Taking care of needs are most important to me. I grow a large garden indoors in the wintertime, augmenting natural and artificial light. It can give me a spiritual lift, a nutritional benefit, emotional wellness, among a lot of other things.
And Joseph, you have SAD.
Don't everyone?
I guess we are a little more blue in the winter, but he's growing a garden indoors. Helps him, Dr. Elliott?
Oh, sure. That's a great thing to do. You know, it's something that I think has meaning for him, and that's always good for depression. It obviously consumes a lot of his attention and focus, and he gets the bonus of the light, which is very helpful.
Yeah. Any other alternative therapies for SAD?
Well, you know, there are, and we review some of the alternative therapies in the book, but I have to tell you, in general, the things that are going to really, really make a difference are the cognitive therapy, medications, light therapy, exercise is one I haven't mentioned. Those are the ones that are really reliable. There are some herbs that have been tried, St. John's wort, but there's sort of a downside to that because it makes you more sensitive to light. And if you're using bright light therapy, that could be a bad combination. So there are some other various alternative therapies, but I tend to steer people away from them and really focus more on the things that are really known to work.
Yeah. Well, what medication is known to work?
Well, most of the antidepressants probably have potential, but one really stands out from the crowd, and that would be Wellbutrin. It seems to be a medication that is a little more activating than some, and that is something somebody with SAD really needs. And so that one is the only one, in fact, that at this point in time has been approved specifically by the FDA for the treatment of SAD.
Yeah. And so what does Wellbutrin do that counters, the lack of sunlight?
Yeah, well, what it does, it's not so much that it counters the lack of sunlight, but the spreading effects of the lack of sunlight, because what can happen is that you get a whole cascade of things occurring in the brain, including too much melatonin production during the day, and then that spirals into alterations in the production of various neurotransmitters like serotonin and whatever. And Wellbutrin really focuses on the neurotransmitters and trying to get a better balance there, and it seems to be, as I say, a little more, you know, some antidepressants actually induce a little bit of fatigue. This one tends to activate people, and that's kind of important with SAD because people with that have a lot of fatigue and a lot of withdrawal and those kind of things.
And doesn't it also help suppress the appetite, so you're not going to eat all those carbs and gain that weight?
Yeah, it can. That's another benefit of it, too, is that it will help with that part of the problem as well. Because people with SAD often will put on 10, 15, 20 pounds every winter.
Yeah. Well, I never mind. I was going to make a joke that I wish I could blame that, but Bert in Duluth. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering if SAD affects people's sexual appetites, and if they have more sex, does that tend to put them in a better frame of mind?
Well, it does affect sex drive, yes. Most people with SAD have less interest in sex, period. Now, I don't think anybody's actually done a study where they specifically asked people to try to increase the amount of sex they have and see the effect that it would have.
There's a research project.
Yeah. It'd be fascinating to do that, but I don't think anybody has. You know, my guess would be, in fact, that it might be a little helpful. It probably wouldn't suffice by itself, but it's not likely to hurt, and what the heck.
Yeah. And thank you, Bert, for the call. Laura in New Berlin. Laura, go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning. I guess I want to call into question this whole concept of cognitive therapy and whether that truly would be valid. And to use an example, I could just use Joy's program 24 hours ago where there was a very worthy discussion of the 300 million non-human beings, namely turkeys, that live lives of utter wretchedness and then die a torturous death, all so that humans can go through this ritual today and say they have a life and they have meaning, but then any woeful soul that's going to be derailed and obsess over the hell these non-human beings experience, well, I suspect they would be told, get a life.
Laura, you want to talk about yesterday's program and not about SAD?
Well, I'm saying I think some of these comments to people who would be considered despondent or dejected, they just dismiss the underlying true cause, which is just this pervasive savagery and suffering in our culture, and that is too uncomfortable for society at large to address.
Yeah, I get it, Laura. You know, our guest doesn't know what you're talking about, but we had a program on yesterday about factory farming and how the treatment of the animals, and especially turkeys and poultry. But that being said, I think Laura really wanted to comment on that more than this program, but I think there are reasons to be sad and depressed, and that's her reason, apparently.
Well, and I can address that piece of it. Sometimes people think that cognitive therapy is attempting to get folks to just see everything as wonderful. And that's not the case. You know, if, in fact, there are bad things going on in a person's life, a good cognitive therapy is not going to try to teach someone to deny that, but rather to acknowledge it and see what can be done about it.
Yeah. So is it often, though, someone with SAD is doing all of these things at once? Cognitive therapy, light therapy, medication, or is it usually just one or the other?
Actually, the combination of things is a very common strategy. I actually tend to suggest that people try probably a combination of cognitive therapy, possibly supplemented with a little bit of exercise first, because the data tell us that not only does that treat SAD very well, it has a preventive effect down the road in the future. And if they're not getting enough out of that, then you've got some backups in the form of light therapy and in the form of medication.
Yeah. We're talking with Charles Elliott, a clinical psychologist, co-author with Laura Smith of Seasonal Affective Disorder for Dummies, some practical, effective strategies to feel better during the dark days of winter. Do you have any questions about what causes SAD, the symptoms of SAD, possible treatments for SAD? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Do you, have you ever suffered from SAD? Do you know anybody who suffers from SAD or seasonal affective disorder? Any questions about new treatments or any questions you might have for our guest? Welcome. How big of a problem is this, Dr. Elliott? How many of us potentially suffer from seasonal affective disorder?
Well, when you look at the statistics on this issue, it's a little confusing because they tend to be a little bit all over the map. But it looks like there's probably 2 or 3 million people in any given winter in this country that suffer from it in a full-blown way. But the numbers explode when you start looking at people who have, you know, the winter blues, which is a slightly lower level of SAD, and then also people who have holiday blues, which is a little different from that. That's sort of a low time, very much attached to the holidays themselves.
You know, can we talk briefly about those?
The
difference between winter blues and SAD?
Right. Well, the winter blues, you can just pretty much think SAD, but milder. These people are depressed, but they're probably functioning. They're probably managing to get to work. Their moods are low. They're craving the carbohydrates. They're sleeping a little too much. But their day-to-day lives are getting by. They don't quite meet the criteria for a full-blown depression.
Yeah, and then the holiday blues, some of us just don't enjoy the holidays, and that's not because we have SAD.
Right. Mm. That's much more attached to other kinds of issues, like having unrealistic expectations about the holidays that don't get met, sometimes regrets, reminders of losses at this time of year, from the past, things like that can get people down during the holidays.
Yeah. Larry in Madison joins us. Hi, Larry. You're on the air.
Yes, I guess. Well, that I think you pretty much answered the question that there are differences, because I wondered if they're in latitudes where, let's say, in the Christmas season, where the latitudes are closer to the sun, do there seem to be fewer people who are depressed around the holidays? Have there been studies done with different cultures? Like, the holiday season in Judaism is in the early fall, with 23 weeks of one holiday after another, and they're the major holidays of the year. And I wondered if there are any cross-cultural comparisons for how people got depressed. But it sounds like what you're saying is that there's this much more significant and deep kind of depression associated with SAD.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There have been studies done of various cultures, and it's kind of interesting. The people around the equator, for example, don't much have SAD at all because their days are pretty much the same length. But there are cultures that seem to have a relatively low incidence of SAD, and it seems to be related to having a whole lot of wintertime holidays and rituals and things. And in particular, Iceland and Greenland seem to have a much lower incidence of SAD than you might think. And there's two reasons that have been postulated. One is that they have a whole lot of holiday celebrations, and some speculate that they may have made a genetic adaptation to the shorter days.
Thank you, Larry, for the call. We'll take more of your calls in just one moment for Dr. Charles Elliott, clinical psychologist and author, co-author of Seasonal Affective Disorder for Dummies, talking about SAD, Seasonal Affective Disorder, talking about some of the possible treatments and the pros and cons of some of these possible treatments and how SAD differs from other depressions. 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you will stay tuned on this Thanksgiving morning for Cheryl Gasser in for Kathleen Dunn after 9 o'clock, talking with her guests about the pros and cons of driving versus flying, traveling during the holiday season. That's coming up in our next hour here on the Ideas Network. Back to the phones for our guest, co-author of Seasonal Affective Disorder for Dummies, Charles Elliott, and Gwendolyn in Palmyra is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, happy Thanksgiving to both of you.
You too.
And just as a quick note, because of being thankful, I just wanted to say that this year was a real blessing for me, and I passed it on by being a first-time contributor.
Well, thank you so much, Gwendolyn. That's great.
Okay, I have a question now in relation to combating. This is sort of more of a, it became a schedule change, but it kicked in sort of SAD symptoms. I've got this new job. I absolutely love the job. But there's this little quirk. In the summertime, we take on a second shift for 2 months. It's not a really long time. But it's just long enough by the second month, my supervisor of the second shift. By the second month, I pretty much wanted to pull out my hair. I was absolutely depressed and just couldn't wait. And the instant that I went back to first shift, I started to feel better. Now, this is something that I'm going to have to do every year. And like I say, I love the job and I really love the work. But I don't think I want to sit around, you know, crying my eyes out and feeling crazy. Obviously, I'm getting sunlight during the day because I'm home during the day. So that's not going to improve this situation. I think it has a lot more to do with probably biological clock changes, but probably falls into the same category. And I wondered if your guest had any suggestions.
That's a great question. Charles Elliott?
Did she say this happens in the summer?
Yes.
Yeah. Which, by the way, you can have seasonal affective disorder that occurs each summer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the regularity of the season that seems to trigger it, although with most people it's winter. She's absolutely right that shift changes can mess up the body's circadian rhythm. And a circadian rhythm that's out of whack seems to be a not very helpful thing for triggering either seasonal affective disorder or other kinds of depression. And so shift work is often a risk factor. And for somebody like that, you know, the plus is she knows it's coming, and so she can get ready with a variety of things. One would be getting a really good exercise routine going could have some prevention effects, I suspect, although there's not a lot of data on it. What there is very promising. She could try light therapy. I'm less certain that it would help her with this particular issue. She could try some cognitive therapy. And one other thing is that Wellbutrin has been shown to have a preventive effect for the development of SAD. So there are a variety of options that she can kind of be prepared.
Yeah, and giving contributions to Wisconsin Public Radio is good therapy for SAD, too?
That is actually the best therapy that there is, yes.
Gwendolyn, do you have any other questions?
No, thank you very much, and bless your whole company.
Thank you so much for the call, and I wish you luck with that shift work. That can be very tough. I have a very odd shift, but at least it stays regular. You talk in the book about reducing daily stress and sleeping more regularly. I mean, all this stuff is important, not only for people with SAD, but all of us, I would think.
That's true. I mean, we're really creatures that operate on rhythms, and the more stable you can keep those rhythms, the better off you are in general.
Yeah. Chrissy in Onalaska is with us now. Hi, Chrissy. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a registered nurse, and I'm very interested in cross-cultural medical issues. And in particular, you were mentioning Greenland and Iceland having less of an incident of SAD. And I'm wondering if they have different practices. You mentioned the more more activities in the winter, but I'm also wondering about whether or not getting away to, say, a warmer climate might be helpful, and if perhaps insurance is reimbursing us in this country. I know in France, in particular, there is some reimbursement by the government to have spa treatments, and it sounds really good idea, like a good idea to me.
I like that idea. Do you prescribe that, Dr.
Yeah,
Elliott?
What do you think about that?
It's great stuff to do. Mm. I think that the idea that insurance companies in this country would reimburse for those things makes me laugh. I just don't think that they'll do it. But sure, spa treatments can be useful. Also, a trip to where it's sunnier can help. The only problem with those strategies is that the sad can come on fairly quickly when you get back from it all. But they're nice pieces to add to your overall attack on sad.
Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of insurance companies started to reimburse for, say, YMCA memberships and fitness club memberships. So I'm kind of still hopeful that maybe we can look at this in the future.
It's a possibility. It'd be terrific.
Yeah. I know I have an insurance company that will reimburse for gym memberships for exercise and that sort of thing.
Right.
So it could help. Thank you very much, Chrissy, and happy Thanksgiving. Terry and Monona, you're on the air.
Yes, my question or comment or concern was I know there's some nationality groups that are more susceptible to depression than others. At least that's what I've heard, specifically some of the Scandinavian countries like Norway. And I wonder, is there any sort of correlation between SAD and nationality groups, or are those two separate issues? And as it relates to depression and SAD?
Well, yes, there are some data about depression and SAD in different cultures and what have you, and it does vary. And we don't really quite know how much of that is genetic and how much of it is something else. We do certainly know that people who move from, say, near the equator way on up north start getting sad much more often, which is kind of an interesting thing. And I believe there's some cultures in the Far East, for example, that have a little bit less sad than others. Again, we don't know enough about that.
Yeah. Now, just to clarify, sad is depression, but sad, is that right? Sad is
yes,
depression.
It is depression.
Yeah, but it's called SAD, seasonal affective disorder, because it comes and goes with seasons.
Right.
Yeah. And what I didn't understand, what you mentioned before, is that SAD can happen in the summer, but if it's thought to be caused by diminished sunlight, why would it happen in the summer?
Well, when it happens in the summer, it's probably not due to the sunlight. Some people seem to be particularly heat sensitive, and hot weather seems to really get them. And it's probably more related to that than the light at that point. So
yeah,
it's a different cause. It's only really called SAD when it happens regularly in the summer, just because it does have that seasonal aspect to it. It comes and goes at a predictable, clear point in time.
Okay. Then a light box isn't going to help that person.
You know, yeah, probably not. However, the interesting thing is the light boxes have actually been found to have some positive effect on regular depression, and there are those who speculate that circadian rhythms get messed up in all depressions. And so it actually is possible that the lights would help that kind of depression. We just don't have a whole lot of data on that.
Mm-hmm. Dan in Beaver Dam, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm a school counselor here in Beaver Dam, and I'm kind of looking at this as a kind of more of a public health kind of a thing, because, I mean, I had no students. Some still can't afford the cognitive therapy or the medication. How am I, on a broader scale, would I be able to reach, you know, some sort of help and intervention for people who might be having either full-blown SAD or some variation of depression?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, there are cheap alternatives. For one, the lights aren't terribly expensive. $100, $200, and they'll last you a long time. And they're pretty widely available. Exercise is relatively cheap, too, and especially if you can get it to happen outside. Cognitive therapy can tend to be expensive, but often insurance will provide some reimbursement. You can also get a fair amount of cognitive therapy through self-help books. Now, you know, I wouldn't advise that for a person who's having a very major case of depressive disorder, but for people with mild to moderate cases, oftentimes self-help books. We have a good section in Seasonal Affective Disorder for Dummies, but there's other good books that have cognitive therapy for depression in general. You know, we've just named ours at SAD, particularly. So there are relatively inexpensive options for people.
Thank you very much, Dan, for the call. We still have time for you and a line for you if you would like to talk about SAD, Seasonal Affective Disorder. It's causes and cures, treatments. And our guest, Charles Elliott, is the co-author of the book, Seasonal Affective Disorder for Dummies. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Do you have strategies to feel better during the dark days of winter? Many of those are in this book as well. Tom in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Elliott. At first, you didn't impress me too much. I know a lot about SAD because my wife has it for years. And you kind of dissed exercise initially. And as I'm listening to you, you're getting better and better.
But, good.
The thing is that exercise, the problem with exercise, over the lights. My first light box cost me $400. I got
right.
It in Rockville, Illinois, at the light box. And so they have come down in price, and of course, a little more known to the people now. But the point I was getting to is that the exercise is hard to get her started. Once she gets started, if I get her exercising, she feels a whole lot better, even without the lights, although light therapy is important, too. So I just wanted to mention that. It's a real thing, too. People can't just think that SAD is kind of a made-up thing. It's a real thing. I know it is.
Oh, it's a very real thing. And if I even suggested that it wasn't that exercise wasn't important, I'd like to take that back because I think it's a very important component of the treatment.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it is hard to get yourself going on it, but once you do, it does make a big difference. And one way you can get yourself going is start slow. Little baby steps help, and sometimes people even make a cost-benefit analysis of it for themselves, and that can help motivate them, where they write down all the reasons they want to exercise and all the reasons they don't. And that can be a motivating thing.
Yeah. And the exercise is important, not just exercise outside, although I can understand you're getting some of that light, but the exercise, because it does something with serotonin in the brain?
Seems to.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise seems to help for all kinds of depression, and the data on that are really piling up. You know, 10 years ago, nobody talked much about exercise for depression. But it seems to have salutary effects across the whole body in many, many different ways, including effects on neurotransmitters.
Yeah. Kay in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Kay. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to add, unless I missed it while I took a run upstairs, I'm surprised you haven't mentioned vitamin D. I have been taking vitamin D for some time now, and my doctor suggested I increase it to 2,000 units a day, one in the morning and one in the evening during the winter, and it does seem to be helpful.
Well, actually, that did come up in the very beginning.
You were upstairs, Kay.
Yeah, you were upstairs.
I haven't mentioned it since.
And it is looking promising. There's not a lot of solid, well-controlled studies on it yet, but there are reasons to think that it might be helpful, and there's also, of course, studies showing it may help prevent various cancers. So, you know, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, what else in terms of treatments that we haven't talked about, Dr. Elliott?
Well, we've hit the major ones, but I think one that I haven't said too much about is that it's important to learn. There's an approach toward depression nowadays known as mindfulness. Many of your readers probably, or many of your listeners have probably heard about mindfulness, and it may have, and I have to say may, have a preventive effect for future cases of depression and SAD. Learning to stay kind of focused on now, because most of our negative emotions have something to do with regrets from the past or anxieties about the future. So learning to be in the now and focus on now can help people.
That sounds like yoga.
Yoga tends to have mindfulness embedded within it. And so you get two things for the price of one. You get a lot of good exercise, and you can learn how to be a little bit more mindful at the same time.
Interesting. If you're not doing yoga, that being mindful is just stop with the woulda, coulda, shouldas?
Yes. Absolutely. And in some ways, it's also an extension of cognitive therapy.
Yeah. Now, we did hear from a caller who said that this is very real. It's not made up. But was this seasonal affective disorder one of those ailments that it took a long time for doctors to figure out?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's just an easy thing to miss, you know, the connection to the winter. When somebody comes in, they're depressed. Well, okay, you know, your typical mental health practitioner isn't going to think, well, gee, let's see, it's November. And when have you had your depressions before and whatever? Nobody really paid much attention to it. Dr. Norman Rosenthal is really the one who's credited with having discovered it, and he discovered it in part from his own self. He moved to the United States in New York, and he suddenly discovered that, you know, he moved from being somewhat close to the equator to New York, and he was getting depressed every winter. And so he started looking into it.
And he's the one who developed the light box.
Yep, he is. Yeah. And so that's, you know, remains a major strategy.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're going to have a very happy Thanksgiving. We appreciate your time and talking to our listeners about SAD.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Yes, I did too.
Happy Thanksgiving yourself.
Yes, you too. Charles Elliott, PhD, clinical psychologist at the Fielding Graduate University. He is the author, along with Laura Smith, of Seasonal Affective Disorder for Dummies, which offers practical, effective strategies to feel better during the dark days of winter. We thank him for being with us on this Thanksgiving Day. I thank you for being with us on this Thanksgiving Day, and I hope you stay tuned. There's a whole lot more to come all morning long. Live call-in talk shows for you to participate in here on the Ideas Network. Special coming up later today as well. Special programming, the Third Coast International Audio Festival between 4 and 6 this afternoon. Ben Marins gets the afternoon off, and you can hear instead some of the world's best radio documentaries, award-winning radio productions this afternoon between 4 and 6 on the Third Coast International Audio Festival. Thanks to Carmen Jackson for producing this program. Thanks to Keisha Mabra for on-air production. Hope you stay tuned, and I hope you join us tomorrow at this time. It's Friday, and that means it's time for our regular Friday Week in Review. We'll do that, talk about all the top big political stories of the week tomorrow between 8 and 9. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.